This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So, Mahoney, tell me if you think that you check these off. Sylvia, you can do the exact same thing.
Okay.
Four weird signs that you're smarter than average.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, to all of them.
Let me get through them first. Number four, you're funny.
Sometimes. Yeah. I don't think I'm hilarious, but I think I'm occasionally quick-witted.
Where are you funniest? You're hilarious?
I'm hilarious.
Okay.
Good. In the bedroom.
It's hard to differentiate between laughing and crying sometimes. I think she's laughing.
I think that's a smile.
Number three, you're tall.
That makes you smart.
There's four characteristics.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 6'4", 6'5", yeah.
I like that you always throw in the 6'4".
In the morning, like when I'm tall, like in the morning, I'm closer to 6'5".
When you're tallest?
Yeah. Once? And you shrink throughout the day. That's a science fact, people.
Oh. I'm 5'5", so...
5'5" is fairly tall for a girl.
No, I think it's like, I think it's just average.
Is that very average?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, there's nothing wrong with being very average.
If I were 5'6",
yeah,
then I'd be like, you know.
Number two, you've done drugs.
Yes.
They don't make you smart, but in a study in 2012, they found kids with high IQs are more likely to try recreational drugs later in life. They also drink more.
Which they're saying,
well, you know, I have my little drinkies.
You've never done any drugs ever at any point in time.
You've never smoked weed?
No, I don't like the smell.
Really? Oh, I love the smell of weed.
Oh. Really?
I think I'm like it's been a long time since I've smoked. I mean, it has, because, you know, I used to smoke a lot when I was having problems sleeping. But now with it becoming legalized, I'm gonna go wait in line. I'm gonna go buy some weed. I just be a part of it. You know, it's a historic day.
It is.
Yeah. Get that consumerism going,
Ian. For this week's Ian mascot moment,
I already got it planned. I've had this planned for like weeks now.
You're gonna go out to one of the dispensaries and talk to some of the people waiting in line.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Oh. Are you gonna buy weed?
Of course I'm going to buy weed.
Are you going to try to find some people that have already partaken in the product that they have purchased?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I want to get the full scope of the line. I want to see all the faces. It's going to be great. Yeah. Man, I'm really excited for it.
And then the final one here, a sign that you're an intelligent person. You're a cat person.
Oh, no. No? Absolutely not.
See?
Oh, that's just so gross. Cats are
you sure that's a cat?
That was a cat eating.
I'm just not. Sure?
That was for another story about pets being overweight. But yeah, I figured that played there too.
I kind of hate cats.
No, I like cats.
For me, it's a deal breaker. You know, like I don't want to date you if you have a cat.
I'm okay with cats.
You would date a dude with cats?
Yeah.
Ian has cats.
Ian has cats. Yeah. I think this whole thing really, you know, applies to Ian.
Hold on. Ian, are they your cats or are they your girlfriend's cats?
Oh, no, they're my cats.
No, he's told us a story.
They are my cats.
Didn't you, like, get one from, like, some weirdo dude?
Yeah, I got them from, like, a trailer park in Indiana.
Yeah.
And it had, like, an Arby's Taco Bell or KFC combo.
Yeah. Like, he told us a story.
There is no Arby's KFC Taco Bell combo.
It was either Arby's and KFC or Arby's and Taco Bell. It's one of those combined.
It's KFC and Taco Bell because they're part of the Yum brand.
Yeah.
It was a White Castle. It was a White Castle combined with something.
Yes. I've never seen a White Castle combined.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
Are you high right now?
No, I'm not high right now.
A little bit?
No, not one bit.
Ian.
No, I'm really not.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So, question for you. Have you ever had a really bad customer service experience? And normally, I'm not really the one that would complain about bad customer service because sometimes you go to a business and the person's having a bad day and you don't really hold the business to blame for what happened. You're just like, this person that I had an interaction with was just having a bad day for whatever reason. You just sort of blow it off. But my wife, she likes to shop online almost as much as you, Sylvia.
Oh.
Almost as much.
Yeah.
But we just moved into a house recently here in Las Vegas. I'm very excited to be in it, but she's doing some shopping for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought something from, have you ever heard of Wayfair.com?
Yes.
So Wayfair.com is this website that sells like a bunch of home furnishing stuff, kind of like a Joss & Main or, you know, any of those type of sites.
Never heard of any of them.
All right. So Wayfair is where you buy
home
fancy
goods.
Chick stuff for your house, you know, like pretty things to hang on the wall and vases.
That's why I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
So she purchased something on Wayfair, and it was like a thing that goes beneath the TV, kind of like an entertainment center, right?
Okay.
and it was on clearance. And so like, oh, this is a really great deal.
Yeah.
Like, normally this is like $1,000, but instead it's like $200.
That's a pretty big discount.
It was,
awesome.
It was an open box item and everything else. And she's like, this is fantastic. So she's excited and she buys it. And then 2 days later, she gets an email that says, "Hi, Brittany. We are sorry to inform you that the following items are no longer available in our clearance center. To ensure your refund is processed right away, we have canceled the items from your order. Please allow blank and blank business days for the pending charge to be put back on your card, blah, blah, blah." So I don't know if Wayfair doesn't understand how retail works, but if you are a retail source, let's say that you're a website or a store, and you put something on sale, and somebody enters your website or your store and buys it, there's no takebacks. That's not how that works.
Has she shopped there before?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So they just said, "We're no longer selling this because too many people bought it?"
Or just sold out.
Whatever it was, she bought it while it was available, and then they took it back.
If it was like sold out already, they should have marked that.
It shouldn't have been available at that price.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been available.
Right. I've had some things like that happen over the years.
Yeah. That's why I was so surprised, because I've never heard of anything like this before where you actually buy something and then they take it back.
Yeah,
it seemed ridiculous.
Like, when I was buying suits a lot from a retailer over in the UK when we were living down in Houston, I was doing a...
that's how you know you're making too much money in Houston. Mahoney was buying suits from the UK.
No, but fancy. what I was doing... These suits aren't fancy. They're nice suits, but they're not fancy. I was using like coupon codes plus other deals, and I would stack them on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, there was a website that I used on through Reddit called Frugal Male Fashion.
You're so gangster.
No, but it would show you where you could save money when buying like those shoes or the, you know. Yeah. And so sometimes the...
Frugal Male Fashion.
Yeah, Dave.
Cool. That's it's fine.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so sometimes what would happen was the discounts would become too deep, and then they would cancel the order because you have kind of gamed the system.
But see, you are gaming the system, right? So you're stacking a coupon on top of another coupon.
On top of a clearance
item. And traditionally, most of the coupons have in the description, cannot be used in any other offers.
It just depends on those certain ones, like, or if you're using Ebates or something along those lines as well. So I've had that happen. So to me, that doesn't seem like that outrageous. It sucks that you didn't get the thing you wanted. But
this
I'm not.
This wasn't gaming the system. This was a sale that they had put on their website.
And but they just ran out. They're dumb.
But that's their problem. That would be
But if they don't have any more, then they'll refund you your money. That's because, just
like,
what happens.
But that's not what just happens. I made the it's like if I went to Best Buy and bought a TV on sale, and then they realize, oh, we weren't supposed to have it discounted that much, they're not going to come to my house and take the TV back.
No, it's not like that at all, because you don't have the item yet. So while they still have the item and they have not shipped it yet, you don't have it. But it's like saying, I want that, and
no,
I should go get it.
The transaction is closed. If I have paid for
that's what I'm saying.
It's
like,
mine.
Because I've had that happen where I bought something.
Yeah.
It's not yours until you get
you're
it.
You're a terrible friend, man.
I'm not trying to be a terrible friend. Normally, I would if I felt like there was an injustice here or there was something that they were doing
if
that was
pay for something
wrong.
If you pay for an item, then it's yours.
But they ran out.
That's on them. They should have continued selling.
There's no more of these two.
You know what, you sound
entitled.
Wayfair. I don't sound entitled.
You do.
Wayfair is the United Airlines of internet shopping. Oh, we overbooked a flight. Sorry, we're just going to kick your ass and throw you off the plane.
In my shopping cart, and I haven't paid for it yet, and then when I go to pay for it, it's sold out.
That's different, though.
Yeah, that
right?
makes sense.
Because
you haven't paid for
you
it.
You haven't paid for it yet. But once the transaction is closed, it's like the guy who's sitting on the airline, it's not his fault that United Airlines overbooked the flight, and they're going to kick his ass.
You didn't get beat up by Wayfair.
I feel like I did, okay?
I'm giving you your money back.
Emotional injuries.
Wait, Wayfair dragged your wife?
Yeah, Wayfair dragged
it.
I'm looking
at this
wife.
Website and it looks like it looks like a half-ass website anyway. You should know better than order from a place like that.
Did you find that website like on Facebook?
No, it's a perfectly reputable website.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, because like there's some like ads on Facebook.
No, it's nothing like that. It's not like some janky website. All like they're right. They've been around for a long time. They sell all sorts of stuff, but they just suck. Bad customer service.
They're giving you your money back. What's the problem?
You don't get the item.
Yeah, buy something else.
Like I said, you're a terrible friend. No, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I got a horror story for you concerning Sony.
Careful, Mahoney's not going to buy into it. It's your fault. See, Mahoney's victim blaming over here.
I'm
That's
not
what's going on.
The fact that you're calling yourself a victim is... So what happened to you, brother?
So my PS4 started messing up, and I contacted Sony because it was within a year. And they're like, yeah, we'll send you out a special box to send us the PS4 in. Just to make sure you have the entire receipt with total and where you bought it and when you bought it and serial number and who keeps receipts, right? So I spent 2 weeks trying to get the receipt from Walmart and another 3 weeks waiting for the box. But once I got the receipt, I realized, oh, I got a warranty from Walmart. And Walmart, of all places, took in the PS4, got it fixed, and sent back to me in less time than it took for me to get the receipt and the box from Sony. And then Sony's like, yeah, sorry.
But you got a new PS4 out of it, right?
See, here we go.
The same PS4.
Here we go.
That is still kind of slow.
Oh, he's going to start blaming you.
I sent it in to get it fixed.
It's coming.
Yeah, he's going to turn it around on you.
Victimized.
Yeah.
Come on, Dave, stick up.
No, I got you.
I don't see where the problem
is.
You bought the...
See, Mahoney's going to blame you for it.
You bought the warranty, you sent it in.
Yeah.
Well, Walmart, of all places, is the one that actually got things done. Like, Sony is...
Because they took too long to send you a box?
Well, and they were demanding so many more other things from me that...
Like proof of purchase? Oh, that horrible company.
See, here we go. Yep, it's all your fault, Noah. You're a real son of a bitch.
For every electronic you buy?
Yes, I do.
You would. No, you don't keep any of it. Your girlfriend does.
Same difference. One and the same.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Danielle is joining us this morning. Another victim that's about to be blamed by Mahoney, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Danielle. What happened
to you? Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Oh. Okay, good.
Oh, no. No. So, I have a LifeProof case on my iPhone. I don't know if you know what those are, but they were amazing.
A what case?
A LifeProof case.
So, you can't break it.
It's like an AutoBox, only better.
Okay.
So, when I would be on the phone, I couldn't, like, push speakerphone, or I couldn't hit the dialing, you know, it's like press one for blah, blah, blah. Couldn't do that. And I thought my phone broke, so I went to Sprint. Nope, not your phone. It's your LifeProof case. The, I don't know what it is, but something on the case wouldn't work. So they told me to go.
You tried to get a refund, I assume.
So, well, it's a warranty. They have a one-year warranty. So I went online, did the warranty. They processed my credit card. They said, if you don't get an email in 20 minutes, call the customer service. Well, they sure processed my credit card. Never sent the email.
Mm-hmm.
Called the customer service. They hung up on me. Called again. They hung up on me. Again. They said, oh, we'll send the email. We're sorry for the problem. Never got the email.
Hang on. So, now, Mahoney, how is this Danielle's fault?
I'm waiting to hear the rest of the story,
okay,
Dave,
all right,
before
good.
I make any judgments on this. How dare you try to make me jump to conclusions before I hear all of the facts, sir.
We should have a new segment on this show where victims call up and Mahoney tells them they're not victims.
I waited a week and I called back. They told me they couldn't find me in their system.
Oh, wow. So you paid for it. The money had come out of your account.
Yeah.
And still
it's
nothing.
A month.
And it's been a month.
It's been a month.
Yeah.
Mahoney? And I can't cover my phone. My phone is naked.
Oh, God forbid you don't have a cover on your phone.
And I have the Forever iPhone plan, so if I crack it or anything, I can't get the next iPhone. And I'm clumsy. And I have five kids.
You can't get the next... I mean, your life pretty much screeches to a halt at the next point when the next iPhone gets released and you can't get it.
Well, why don't you get another...
No, I don't care. My husband cares.
Why don't you get another cover in the meantime?
Because it costs $90 for one.
Well, you don't have to buy a LifeProof case.
She has five kids.
One.
Like you do need a LifeProof case with five kids. They're maniacs.
I have five kids and I'm a stay-at-home mom. Like I need a case.
Kids are constantly grabbing the phone. They're watching stuff on it.
I keep my phone. I keep my phone bare. I don't have a case on mine.
So how is this Danielle's fault? How many kids do you have, Mahoney?
None. More than you. I just don't claim any of them or pay child support for any of them.
Because
they're a bunch of little bastards.
Well, no wonder you keep it bare. How many kids do you have?
A lot. So here's the thing. Here's the thing, Danielle. You want to know why this is your fault? Because you're not patient enough. They're going to get it happen. They're going to make it happen. All you have to do is just wait a little bit longer. Wait.
It's been a month. I haven't got the confirmation email. They took my money, and it's supposed to come within 5 days.
Wham.
Wham.
Mahoney's a real son of a bitch today.
They can't find me in their system.
Then call them again and tell them what
She's
happened.
She's already called them like 10 times.
Call them again.
Apparently, you know, persistence is not one of Danielle's strong suits.
No, I'm with you, Danielle. Life cases and Wayfair suck.
Yeah, and it's a $90 case. Like, really?
Yeah.
Why would I go out and spend another? By the way, I bought two of them because the first one was ruined in a fire.
Maybe you should buy an OtterBox, switch to a different company.
Ruined in a fire?
Yeah, what happened?
Like, what is going on with your life, Danielle?
I had a house fire last year. Everything I owned was lost, except...
And you're over here, you're victim blaming her, Mahoney. Was the fire her fault, too? Yeah.
Probably.
No, God. I was in the hospital when it happened.
Well, what were you doing in the hospital?
See, this is just I've got 17 kids. My house burned down. I was in the hospital, and a truck ran over my dog. And so what are you... This is a country song waiting to happen.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm very sorry if any of that is true.
Pop song waiting to happen. All I have to do is throw drugs in.
Thanks for the call, Danielle. And you are a victim. Don't let Mahoney beat you down. Yeah. Have a good day. Take care.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Finally, they're making a comeback. It's been too long.
What is?
My sweet old friend, Frosted Tips. Yes.
You know what? I actually like Frosted Tips.
Do you really?
I did.
Ian, you kind of have Frosted Tips in there little bit.
No,
I mean,
it's.
I keep it under a hat, though.
Yeah, but I mean.
It's not like the traditional.
I get it, but
it's not the traditional, like, Frosted Tips.
It's not the Backstreet Boys Frosted Tips Dave had in 2004 and 5.
It was more of an NSYNC, thank you very much, but whatever.
I thought you were
more of an AJ McLean, personally.
It's just mean, and you know it. There's some guys that haven't really let it go, like the Guy Fieri's of the world.
Well, but that's his thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's his shtick.
Yeah. But you say you like it, Sylvia.
I thought it was okay.
Then again, your boyfriend has a man bun.
He does.
Okay.
Because he has long hair.
But yeah, it's just worth noting that.
No, it's not.
According to BuzzFeed... there is a lot of people that are now going into barbers and asking for the Frosted Tips. They are making a comeback, and 11% of men say that they want them.
I didn't realize that in 2005, there's guys still sporting that.
I mean, the 90s were definitely the spot. 2005, there's still a thing.
No, because 2005 would be like the emo.
Dave had Frosted Tips in 2005.
What are you doing?
No, because I was never an emo douche.
What are you doing?
More the rock, rock transition.
Like cutting your hair and like letting it hang in your face.
I had a crush on a guy who had that.
Of course you did. Little goth nerd.
So
weirdo.
He was.
Anyway, Frosted Tips are coming back, and I think it's fantastic.
Young
so
hipsters.
Sad all of the time.
No, he wasn't sad. He was
so sad.
He's a jerk.
Let's listen to some MCR.
My Chemi Rowe.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God. So stupid.
Things that don't need to be shortened. My Chemical
My
Romance does not
that,
take that much longer to say.
That wasn't me.
My Chemi Rowe.
My Chemi Rowe.
There are a lot of 90s styles that are making a comeback. If you look at like younger, like, you know, styles for younger women right now, it's the high-waisted
jeans.
Like cut-off shorts and chokers and Doc Martens. I'm like, we lived through this already.
You're like, it wasn't that long ago. How is this a throwback?
But it's 20-some years old now.
Yeah.
But
if
still.
You think about it.
Yeah.
Those high-waisted shorts aren't doing anybody any favors.
So this is unfortunate. A woman was trying to scatter her mother's ashes. That's a very common thing after somebody passes. And, you know, you scatter the ashes, and you know, sometimes it's a favorite location.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be careful that it's not directly into the wind, which is what happens here.
Funny. I'm not to do it
no,
with the
no,
rope.
No ashes went. You need a brusher off the side.
Damien, that's disrespectful. Don't say that.
She's so cute.
You can't claim over.
I mean, you hear
disrespectful.
She was like, "Shot the hell, the shot it didn't work."
She wants to know why somebody didn't tell her. Could you not feel the wind? It sounds like a tornado out there.
Listen to that wind.
You can't claim over.
I mean, has anything unfortunate happened at like at a funeral or like when you're trying to do something to honor your dead relative?
Not of that level. No.
I mean, has she never seen The Big Lebowski? I mean, come on, man.
Come on, man.
R.I.P. Donnie.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Going over to Twitter here, at Dave Mahoney, Brittany said, I'm terrified of swings, and my best friend is terrified of static electricity. Can you imagine your entire life being terrified of static electricity?
You can't let anybody know about your fear of static electricity if you're anywhere near carpet.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Because I will just run. Like, you remember as a kid learning about static electricity, feeling out like it felt like a superpower when you could just rub your feet on the shag carpet that was everywhere in the 80s?
Ashley joining us this morning from Summerlin. Hey, Ashley.
Hi.
So what about for you?
So I'm super phobic of unfurnished kind of wood. So like popsicle sticks, toothpicks, wooden like cooking spoons. I like shake when I touch them or I'm like around them. It's so weird.
Do like new like construction builds freak you out that haven't that are just like the framing of houses because that wood's not like varnished or anything yet?
Yeah, it freaks me out so bad. Like if it's a furnished table, there's no problem, like because I can't.
So if I just sent you into a like the frame of a house and made you eat a popsicle while holding a toothpick, you'd lose your mind.
I would die. Yeah.
When did you first realize that unvarnished wood freaked you out?
I'm pretty sure it kind of stems from when you know when you're a child at the doctor's or the nurse's office and they like put that popsicle stick in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At the doctor's office.
I hate unvarnished wood in my mouth, too.
Yeah. Has to be varnished.
It certainly does. Buy me a drink first, at least.
I was thinking, like, maybe you got a splinter as a kid.
Yeah.
That's what, like, maybe that freaks you out.
I think so. I think that's kind of where it all stemmed from. But now it's, like, on a larger scale.
Man, I just... Wow. How much would it take for you to bake us a cake using only a wood spoon?
Like
you had to mix the entire thing by hand.
I would wrap a towel around it, like a paper towel or a towel around it.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful.
You can't even touch it.
Thank you, awesome. Ashley. Have a great day.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You too. Hmm.
Samantha joining us this morning from the southwest part of Las Vegas. What's up?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So my strange phobia is that I have a phobia of vomiting.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so even that's like freaking me out a little. Like I think the youngest I can remember having this was about 6 years old. And I'm 28 now. The last time I threw up I was 8.
So you haven't thrown up in 20 years?
Wow.
I have not thrown up.
Do you drink?
I do, you know what? I do and I love drinking. And I have gotten like I don't get pukey when I'm hungover. But there have been a couple times I've had too much to drink, and when I get gaggy, I will actually physically slap myself. Because the pain takes away from the vomity feeling and things away.
That's a... Really?
Wow.
I may have to try that next time I have to vomit.
You so when, like you get, gaggy?
When you get gaggy, you slap yourself. I imagine your boyfriend either loves you or hates you.
I have a couple of other little tricks to help with it. So.
I don't know if we can go into it. I think it's too early for that.
You can completely remove your gag reflex if you take your thumb on your left hand and you put it in between your fist. Like your gag reflex goes away. Like I could shove
that's
my...
That's what I do.
Yep.
Wait. Hang on. So you take your thumb on... Does it have to be on your left hand?
Well, it's either hand, but I always do it on my left.
Thumb.
And you push it into the middle of your palm.
Uh-huh.
And then you like make a fist around it, and you put the pressure onto it, so you're focused on the pressure on your thumb.
And your gag reflex totally goes away?
Yes.
Mahoney is jamming his finger down his throat.
He's jamming his... Oh, my gosh. Oh, can I take a picture?
It's all the way down. No, you're not taking a picture of that.
That was...
But, you know, like, you can, really, it legitimately works. I thought it was one of those things, like, you see on the internet, like, hey, you can charge your iPhone in, like, a minute or you put it in the microwave.
If your hand's bigger than your face, you don't have the chance of getting cancer then somebody smashes your hand in your face.
That is not true.
This one is 100% true, and it works. Like, if you feel like your gag reflex is going to, like,
so you have to put your thumb in the middle of your...
Middle of your palm, and then
just squeeze your thumb.
And then
you
do it.
It's close enough, Sylvia.
Oh.
Okay. And then now squeeze.
Okay.
And now jam something down your throat.
No!
I use my middle finger. Like, try it. Seriously, it works.
Now take your finger.
Just down.
Work.
Just, yeah.
No, because what's his bucket's going to record it? No.
I'm not going to record it. Just do it.
I'll put it on Instagram if you put it on Instagram. I don't care because it's true. It has served me well.
I don't like putting things. No, I don't want to jam anything in my shut up.
It's your middle finger. It's your own. It's not right. Dirty.
Samantha, thank you for the call today. That was delightful.
You guys are welcome. I love you guys.
We love you,
Samantha. Slapping
Steve.
Yourself to stop vomiting.
I'm good.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Chantel over at UNLV, what's up?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. So I was calling because I do have a weird phobia, but I also have trypophobia, and I know why people have trypophobia.
Why?
Oh, why?
So trypophobia is actually an evolutionary trait that humans develop. There's like 30% of the population of the world has trypophobia because there are plants and animals that have those unsymmetrical, weirdly shaped holes around them, and they're poisonous. So, like, the blue ring octopus, anytime you see a plant that has weird, like, circles around it, or there's the purple toad or whatever in Africa that the babies live in the holes in its back, and it's disgusting, but it's also poisonous to people. So a lot of people don't have it, but the people who do just develop that evolutionary trait over time.
I feel like that's what somebody who's smart came up with to justify their weirdness.
Yeah.
Are you also freaked out by honeycombs, though?
Actually, a little bit, yeah.
See, it's a little. It makes you a little uncomfortable.
It does, but it doesn't make me freak out because it's not a fear like I'm going to scream because there's a spider fear. It's like it makes your stomach turn and makes you just want to gag kind of fear. But
makes me hungry.
Honey is good, and I rational. I'm like, honey tastes good, so this is not that freaky.
Sylvia, do honeycomb cereal freak you out?
No.
Yeah, I never liked that. I hated honeycomb cereal.
Chantel, thanks for the call. Have a great day.
You too, thanks.
David joining us from Pahrump. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm really scared of identical twins.
What?
Yeah, To the point where one of my best friends just had a twin girls, and they're almost 2 years old. They'll be 2 years old next month. I still have not even seen them yet.
Because they're so scared.
Do you tell your friend that I'm too terrified to come see your kids?
Yeah, at first I was just making up excuses, and then I eventually told him. He kind of laughed at me and said it was an irrational fear.
What if they just separate them? Like, what if they have one in the living room and one in the dining room?
Do you think?
I think it's a fact that I know about them because they post pictures of them on Facebook and stuff. So it's still kind of there.
Did you watch The Shining?
Yeah, and you know what? That didn't bother me because one of them is a little bit taller than the other, and I read the book first, and in the book, they are not identical twins.
Oh.
So it's only if they're totally identical.
Yeah, fraternal twins don't freak you out?
No, not at all.
Wow.
Identical twins, just seeing two people with the same face.
Yeah. It's kind of like a glitch in the Matrix.
It's not a glitch.
It is. It's kind of like a glitch in the Matrix.
Yes. But if you
both have the same face.
If you see a movie where there's an actor that's playing twins, that doesn't bother me.
So what if there is a scene in a movie where all of the people look the exact same? Do you lose it?
It kind of creeps me out a little bit, but I know it's done with digital things, so it's not. But twins have a connection, a psychic connection. And that's equal parts scary and amazing.
You hear about that stuff all the time where like a twin's like, I was around the world and I woke up out of my sleep and I called my twin and there was something wrong. You know, you hear that stuff all the time. I don't believe it, but you know, whatever.
It kind of amazes me and it freaks me out more though.
Is that what freaks you out about twins more? Because like nothing happened when you were a kid?
No, it's just that. Just the fact that the two people, and there was pictures, remember the Breeders? The band, the Breeders.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
the Cannonball.
Ben Deal and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
I got the CD cover and I opened it up one day and there's a picture of both of them in there and they both have this kind of blank stare on their faces and I'm just like, oh my god, that just freaks me out.
All right, you're kind of weird, but I like you, David. Thank you for the call today, man. No have problem. A good one.
Thanks.
All right, but one final one here, Heather from Henderson. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I have kind of a traumatic childhood experience that has given me a phobia of Rocky Road ice cream.
Really? What happened?
So I went with my dad. He took us to Thrifty's for an ice cream, and they didn't have rainbow sherbet. That was what I got every time. So I couldn't decide what I wanted. He got upset with me, sent me to the car, came back with a Rocky Road cone. So I tried it, didn't like it. Sitting in the middle of the heat of the summer, melting all over me, he says, eat your ice cream.
He forced you to eat the Rocky Road.
I said, I don't like it. He said, well, you're making a mess. Eat your ice cream. Said, I don't like it. So he shoved it in my face.
Oh.
I'm now covered with Rocky Road ice cream, crying. He runs a stop sign. We get pulled over by the police. And the police comes up to the car. I'm crying, covered in chocolate and marshmallows and nuts. And he says, man, just go home. He told my dad. he said, you got enough problems on your hands.
How much would it take for you to eat a ice cream cone of Rocky Road today?
At least $1,000 if I could do it. I don't even know if I could.
You physically don't think you could.
Does it make you ill thinking about it?
It will make me gag and my...
We'll just take your thumb.
Just take your thumb and put it right in the middle of your palm. Pressure.
Yes, I learned that trick. I took my daughter to a Baskin Robbins, and a little boy in front of us got a cone of Rocky Road ice cream, and he turned around, and I hid behind my daughter because I didn't want to be next to him.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you for the call today, Heather. We appreciate you. All right.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right. I didn't really know what to expect with this whole Ian's mascot moment, but I'm looking at the pictures right now for the first time. There is a gentleman named Bunny who is wearing knee-high socks that are rainbow-colored. He's got gold sneakers on. Very nice gold sneakers. And then very little else. Pink spandex tights that have a little bunny tail on the back, it looks. And is that a bra that he's wearing? Is that what's...
I believe it is a bra.
It's like a bikini top.
So, and then he actually has bunny ears, and yeah, it's something we're taking a look at. And then you also have the... What's the retired stripper's name?
No, that's Sandy.
Sandy, okay. Now you said a retired stripper, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe like 43 years old, just decided, you know, I'm not making that much. But no. No, she is... She's about 250 by the looks of it.
Does she have legs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she uses them very much, though.
She's in a wheelchair, and she... What would be your guess on her age?
I would say mid-50s.
No
really?
Yeah. Way, man!
Mid-50s?
What?
What are you talking about?
She's 75, 80.
Yeah, she looks way older than that. Is that a mask she's wearing?
Have you seen her before?
No.
That's a mask.
She's down there all the time.
I'm looking at the picture you posted on Twitter.
No, okay, that's her wearing a mask.
Oh, she...
Oh, you guys thought that was a real face.
I thought that was actually a face.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
Because it kind of matches the rest of her awful body. Yes, it does.
No, it looks kind of real.
She said that's a new mask. She doesn't use the mask.
Okay.
Usually. What does she really look like?
She's a retired stripper that is on Fremont.
So here you have it. It's Ian's mascot moment.
Holy Merlin Magician. Holy Long John Silver. Holy Polaris.
It's Ian's mascot moment. All right, we're down here on the 4th of July. I've met Sandy, who markets herself as a retired stripper. Sandy, how are you?
Sweating my ovaries off.
Hey, Sandy, how hot is it?
Am I allowed to cuss? It is so f***ing hot out here, I'm ovulating hard-boiled eggs.
Oh. If you don't mind me asking, how big are the twins?
I can wear all the way up to 44G, as in, gee, your hair smells terrific.
So, say, how long have you been out here on Fremont?
Going on 7 years.
And were you stripping beforehand?
No, I was SpongeBob SquarePants for 6.
Hey, do you know Cupid out here?
He's a fall down drunk, but I love him.
All right, well, Sandy, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. You have a great day. Happy Safe Fort. Stay hydrated.
All right, I'm out of here. I have found a Fremont legend. I have found Bunny. Bunny, how are you?
I'm blessed, as always. Another beautiful day in Vegas.
Speaking of beautiful, Bunny, can you describe to the Las Vegas audience your attire?
Bright pink bikini, rainbow socks, mismatched gloves, just a little splash of color in this boring setting.
Now, Bunny, what's an average day like for you here on Fremont?
Drunks, drunks, and more drunks. It's great.
That's a crazy story.
There's so many. My craziest story is having to chase a drunk from the beginning of Fremont to the end of Fremont to retrieve my tail from his mouth.
Bunny, is there a significant other in your life?
No, Bunny stays single. They can't handle the heat.
Now, are you good friends with Sandy, the retired stripper?
Yes, I am.
You have an awesome crew over here. Dare I say, one of the best looking.
Of course. Once you go Bunny, you don't go back.
Do you do anything else besides be out here? Are you at Ace Hardware? Or...
This is it.
You're not an Uber driver?
No Uber. No Lyft. Well, not here, Lyft, at least.
Hey, do you have any advice for any future bunnies?
Don't do it.
Bunny, it's been a pleasure meeting you. We'll see you soon, hopefully.
Have a great one.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So this guy was doing some construction, and he accidentally shot himself with a nail gun, which sounds really, really, really uncomfortable.
Anywhere you get hit with a nail gun, probably not a good spot.
Specifically, though, he shot himself in the heart.
Oh!
Whoops!
Wow!
How does that happen?
I don't know. Maybe he had it and then like accidentally turned it around, like it flipped it around, something like that. Anyway, it shot him in the heart, and he did not pull it out of his heart immediately. Instead, he drove himself to the hospital with a nail in his heart.
What a badass.
And the reason he said he didn't pull it out is because of the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin. Yeah. You remember that story? He got hit with that stingray, yanked it out, and then, you know, it killed him because it ripped his heart apart. Because the barbs. This guy talks here about driving to the hospital with a nail in his heart. Also amazing, he's able to even talk at this point and do an interview about this.
And I was nailing, just bringing the nail gun forward, and I was on my tiptoes, and I just didn't have quite enough room, and it fired before I was really ready for it, and then it dropped down and fired again. And
Oh, God.
It didn't really hurt. It just felt like it kind of stung me, and I looked down, and I didn't see anything, and I put my hand there, and like, that's not good. When I saw it moving with my heart, it's like, I'm not going to get anything done today. I can see that already. So I drove into the emergency room. And
you drove yourself to the hospital.
This seemed like the thing to do. I just leaned over the security guard and said, I've got a nail in my chest. I'd be great if you can find somebody to help me out here. I'm just going to sit down.
What a nice guy.
That guy's my favorite.
He is the epitome of a Canadian who's just like, oh hey, sorry to bother you, but I'm...
Wisconsin, Dave.
He's from Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Dave. He's from... That's Wisconsin there.
It sounded Canadian to me, but being a Wisconsin kid yourself... Does that sound like the sort of individual that you would regularly encounter in the great state of Wisconsin?
I did some research there, and he's from Peshtigo. A lot of that kind of stuff from Peshtigo there. You know?
What a sweetheart. I just want to give that guy a hug, man.
I just like, he's like, well, I'm not going to get anything done today.
Oh, no.
I'm looking.
Sucks. Got a nail in the heart.
Yeah, did you see the picture?
I'm looking at the picture of this guy, and it's like, it's like a long nail, but still 2 inches of it are sticking out.
It's gnarly. It's gnarly.
Many times throughout the day, On given days, I'll be like, well, I'm not going to get anything done today, but it's because I have 3 beers at lunch.
Yeah.
It's not because I shoot myself in the heart with a nail gun.
Usually you have 3 beers, then you shoot yourself with a nail gun.
I'm really not getting anything done today.
So we have been talking a lot about Aaron Carter because of all the shenanigans, him getting arrested, getting the DUI. He's bisexual now. But just a little flashback here of 12-year-old Aaron Carter when he was kind of on top of the world with his little first hit song. They asked him, you know, as you get older, what do you want to do with your life? I just want to play this clip for you, and you guys tell me if you think he hit it, based on what we've heard over the past couple of weeks.
My ultimate goal is to be a marine biologist, because that's my dream, and I've always wanted to be one, and I always wanted to be a discoverer and, you know, go around the world, see different things, you know.
Well, I mean, he's definitely seeing different things.
Yeah, he's definitely going around the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like a marine biologist is what, like, hippie chicks and, like, 12-year-olds. That's what they want. That's who wants to be. Like, yeah, I'm sure it's like
a marine biologist sounds great.
But then
it takes a lot of work, and you're kind of isolated much of the time. And
I met a guy who's an archaeologist. He said it's the most boring job ever.
I'm sure.
He's like, I watched Indiana Jones as a kid. I want to be an
archaeologist. Oh, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to go discover treasures that have never been seen before.
He's like, I deal with musty crap all day, and it's mostly paperwork.
Oh.
So, kids, don't follow your dreams right now.
whatever you do, your dreams suck. Just remember
don't
that.
Follow your dreams.
Right now. Later. Wait until you figure it out. You know, like, I want to be a lawyer, you know?
I wanted to be a bone doctor.
A bone doctor.
If you know what I mean.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
This is incredible. A guy in England was so sick of his wife nagging him that he disappeared into the woods for 10 years.
The woods.
Over a decade ago, a guy in his early 50s named Malcolm Applegate from Hampshire, England, was over his wife's nagging, so he disappeared literally. One day he vanished, and no one heard from him again for over a decade.
Did he want to go get milk?
Just walked into the woods. Like, I'm over this. He recently turned up at a center that helps homeless people get back on their feet. Turns out that he hated his marriage so much that he'd been living in the woods for 10 years. And it was right next to a community center for senior citizens. And he worked there as a gardener. But then at night, he just went back into the woods.
Like, did he build like a little shelter or something?
He must have had like a little fort or something, right?
Where is he sleeping at?
In the woods.
I know, but like, shelter-wise.
Maybe nowhere.
Does he have a little bed?
Why don't you just get a divorce, man? Get an apartment.
I know. So he eventually heard about the homeless place, headed there for an interview, moved in. Now 62 years old, he's putting his life back together, which includes getting in touch with some family members, some of which have passed away. He had no idea that any of that was going on.
Aww.
If you've been living in the woods for 10 years, yeah, those things happen.
As far as the story goes, though, he has not gotten back in touch with his wife.
Well, I mean,
that's
after
a good thing, right?
After 10 years of, you know, after just walking out one day.
You know, would it suck if you found out she hit the lottery or something? Living the high life.
Basically, he's like, I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call you.
No.
I mean, he looks happy, though.
Does he?
Yeah, he looks super, super happy. He's like a happy chap.
Oh, Malcolm.
I mean, he's missing teeth.
He's got that British smile.
Yeah, you know.
I can't imagine living in the woods or anywhere without, like, indoor plumbing. Like, if I had, you know, like, number two in the woods.
Oh, yeah. Like having to pop a squat?
Like, point, I can't, like, a number two in public without, like, the wet wipes from Costco. That to me is like hell on earth.
You're roughened if you have to use just regular toilet paper.
Oh yeah, I have a pack that I bring with me pretty much most places whenever I travel.
You have a pack of wet wipes that you bring with you?
Yes.
Right now?
I mean, they're in my car. Yeah.
Oh.
So if you
if an emergency happened,
you would run out to your car first.
Yes, Dave.
And then you would go to the all right. If you ever see Mahoney sprinting towards his car, do not get in the way.
What if he like drops his keys?
It's so much.
Oh God!
Like, I wish that here's where America. This is where America falls behind Europe, man, and Asia in a lot of places. Why don't we have more bidets?
The bidet.
Bidets are like the greatest thing of all time.
I've never.
Yeah, no, I'd never used one either. And then I went to Japan. And first off, in Japan, all of the toilet seats are heated. So when you sit down in them, they're nice and
toasty. Get up?
No, you don't. And then they have the bidet, and they have different settings. And you push it, and
it's like
a sprinkler.
Much like the shower head, you know, where you're turning it. They have the pulsate. They have the standard rain one. You know, it really does a good job.
Stunningly accurate. You're like, how did you know exactly where that was?
That's what technology should be used for. Why are we a bunch of apes still using paper? Like, when we have this technology that can do so much more.
It's life-changing. It really is.
America, you need to wake up. Bidets.
We're not talking about
bidets for days, man.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Ready to find out how gross we all are? There was a survey done about gross things that people do in private, and they asked people for total honesty as well as being anonymous so they didn't have to out themselves, but they were trying to get to the bottom of whether or not these things were true. Let's find out if they're true amongst ourselves. How often do you use the bathroom and not wash your hands?
Ooh.
37% say they always wash their hands. 51% sometimes skip washing their hands. 12% say they rarely wash their hands after using the bathroom. 12%. Ian, where are you on this?
In public, always wash my hands. At home, never wash my hands.
Okay.
Well, because I mean you're at home. I get that.
That's my house.
Sylvia?
No, I always wash my hands. Even at home. Yeah.
Okay.
The only time I don't is a number one in the middle of the night.
So even at home, you're normally washing your hands after that.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a middle of the night number two, which doesn't happen that often.
I'm with Ian.
Like where you wake up out of a deep sleep and you're like, oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Things are happening.
Yeah. My prostate appears to be enlarged. No, I'm with Ian. Very rarely at home do I wash my hands, but always in public.
Always in public, all no right. matter what.
As an adult, have you ever picked your nose and eaten it? 25% said yes. Half of them say they still do it. 10% lied and say they have never even picked their nose.
Ugh.
Mahoney, you're first on this one.
I'm a pick and flick.
A pick and flick?
Pick and flick.
Do you pick roll and flick or just pick and flick?
The roll is you gotta roll to get it, make it more aerodynamic to like flick it out of your car.
A little booger missile. Booger torpedo. How does he have that many boogers? Sylvia?
Oh boy.
Sylvia?
About the same. Like, I'm just pick and flick.
You pick and flick?
Yep.
How often would you say you pick and flick? How many times a day?
Once.
Once a day?
Once.
Just once. You just have to be a sizable, like, a meteorite-sized booger. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Blocking a whole nostril.
You can't leave bats in the cave, man.
This is
going
to be satisfying.
Ian?
You guys are all... I eat occasionally.
What?
I'll eat occasionally.
Really?
Okay, I'm doing everybody else a service, because if I'm flicking that somewhere, it's going to wind up somewhere.
You eat your boogers?
They're biodegradable, man.
Yeah, man.
You don't flick in the house. I'm talking, this is like car on the road.
Oh, okay, but still.
Do you roll down your window or you're just flicking on the floorboard?
No, you roll the window down, man. Okay. No, keep that in the car. Like I said, it will biodegrade.
You eat your boogers, huh?
Occasionally.
Wow.
Just occasionally. And at my house, it's not like I'm in the booth here and I'm, you know, eating my boogs.
You do it at the house.
Yeah, when I'm at home.
When you could just get up and get like a Kleenex.
I'm not getting up.
There are studies that say.
Does your girlfriend know this?
Yes, well...
Does she eat her boogers?
No, you know what she does? She picks them in the shower and then puts them on the wall.
I do snot rockets in the shower, though. Because you gets everything all cleared out.
They're disgusting.
You guys don't eat your boogers. No, I can't believe it.
They say there is a health benefit to that you get sick less if you do that.
Yeah.
So
I don't think that's true, Mahoney.
I don't know.
Have you ever needed a shower and just put on a ton of perfume or cologne instead? 69% said yes, including 18% who do it often. 31% claim that they never have.
I would say once a week at least.
What? Yeah.
Usually on the weekends.
Yes. This past Saturday, I did that.
You just put like a whole bunch of cologne?
Yeah, like I was kind of in a rush.
You're going
to get ready
out?
And I was like,
run errands or something? Like, I'm like, I'm not like during the week coming to work. Yes, I shower the night before and I get ready in the morning. But like on a Saturday, if we're like screwing around at the house and then we have to go run errands and we have to get cleaned up for real later on in the day, I'm like, I don't care. I'm just going to go out. You can see me in shorts and an old shirt.
Sylvia just like dry heaved at the thought of that.
No, I'm still on
the booger thing.
Yeah.
All right. How often do you wash your jeans? 60% said after two or three wears. 14% every time they wear them. 25% said only when they're really dirty. 1% said never.
You're actually not supposed to wash your jeans.
I don't think that's true.
That's only raw denim that you're not supposed to wash. I hardly ever wash my jeans unless they get funky.
Yeah. No. So for me, it's always the smell.
You got to go.
I'll just pick them up.
If the ass is odorous, then it's getting a washing.
So are you going commando?
No, I mean, but sometimes, like, if you are
is it, like,
out,
penetrating
like,
through your
sometimes
undies?
If you are out, like,
through your undies, your spandex undies.
If you are out and it's like super hot and there's a lot of sweat going on, and I just ate like a big funky meal,
swamp ass.
That's a washing. Yep. But like, if I'm like wearing jeans to work, I'm gonna wear them again tomorrow.
Have you ever passed gas in an elevator? 53% say that they've done it while alone in an elevator. Sylvia, you farted in an elevator recently?
Not recently.
When was it?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You specifically remember the exact time.
No, I'm just,
somebody,
think this
is there anything worse than when you fart in an elevator and then it stops to the next floor and somebody gets in and you're like, yeah, whoever just got off this thing really must have had some bad
I've been
chicken.
Dying in here.
Bad sushi.
Oof. 38% say they've done it with other people in the elevator.
No, that's
Mahoney.
Rude.
I've done that before.
Rude.
Not intentionally, man. Sometimes they just, that you train is a coming.
You get scared? Like.
And a very confident 3% say they do it all the time.
I don't do it all the time. I try to avoid it because that's rude. And I mean, farting alone in an elevator is always a gamble because, like you said, when those doors open.
You know what's worse than that, though, is... If you're in your office and you have an office and you're in your office by yourself and then you fart and then somebody walks in your office, because there's no one to blame it on. At least an elevator is like a public space, but you're in your office and you're like, and then somebody walks in and you're like, you sort of like, yeah, come with me. And you sort of try to walk him out of the office quickly.
There's a lot of liars on this that people will not admit to what the actual truth of how nasty they are.
Number one, have you ever peed in the shower?
This morning.
Really?
What?
Of course.
84% of people say yes. That includes 60% who do it at least once a week.
I don't do it in public, but in my own shower? Yeah, of course.
What kind of public showers are you talking about?
Like at the gym. You said you showered the night before, did you just get up and just...
Well, some nights I shower the night before.
Pee in the shower. Take this shower. You know.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Is it inappropriate to file charges against your one-year-old daughter? Just asking.
You need a protection order?
Yeah. Can I get a restraining order against my one-year-old? She
can't come with
physically abuse me like this.
A few feet away from you.
Like 6 inches. Her arm's only that long. Have you ever been injured by a kid or by a friend or by a sibling? Aaron said, my wake-up call the morning after my vasectomy was getting heel dropped in the nuts by my four-year-old.
Oh, God. That's why he had a vasectomy.
Christopher said 4 years and 9 months too late, buddy.
Oh, man.
Jason is joining us from the east side this morning. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. So this is a sister incident, huh?
Yeah. So I was about 9, and she was 6, and she threw something at me, and I grabbed the first thing I could find, and I threw it back, and it happened to be a fork.
Oh, boy.
And it stuck in her temple.
Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah, did the whole, like, doorstop,
I mean, at that point, can't help but laugh.
In the temple, though, that's a pretty sensitive area. Was she all right?
Yeah, she was okay.
Oh, boy.
She brings it up all the time still, and I mean, I'm going to be 34 now.
How bad did you get in trouble?
Oh, I got whooped.
Yeah, that's a whooping.
But the fact you threw it, throwing a fork in general, trying to get it to stick into anything is impressive.
If that got her eye, oof.
Oh, yeah.
If that got her eye, yeah.
It's funny how, you know, as you become an adult, you learn restraint in certain circumstances. But I remember one time that I threw my brother's actually the one that got in trouble for this. Thank you, Mom and Dad. But I threw one of those, like, you know, like if you have like a pork or like a rump roast or something like that and you're cooking in the crock pot, one of those like big forks that have the wood handle on them.
Yeah.
I threw one of those at my brother one time and he took a basketball and held it up to block, and the fork hit the basketball and popped it, and he got in trouble for popping the basketball. Take that, John. All right, Jason, good story, man. Hold tight.
That's impressive, though.
Yeah, right?
That's like a one in a thousand shot now. Yeah, like to throw a fork and pop a basketball.
Pop a basketball. Eric from South Las Vegas, what's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. This is your grandma, huh?
Yeah. So it's her birthday. And we all get together. She's turning like 65, 66, and we're playing ping pong. And surprisingly, she's pretty good. And I'm in high school. I'm the captain of the wrestling team. I weigh 160 pounds, the best shape of my life. And we're playing ping pong. She beats me, and I'm getting all pressured. I was like, "Fine, Grandma, punch me." She's like, so she punches me in the stomach.
Wait, did you say that you were the captain of the wrestling team, and your grandma was beating you?
Well. She beat me on in ping pong.
Oh, in ping pong. I thought you were wrestling
really
with her.
Good at ping pong.
Got it. All right.
And so she goes and she goes and punches me. I told her to punch me in the stomach, and she gets a boxer's break on her pinky, and it's just it completely bulges out. So we go to the doctor. Doctor's there. Oh, it looks like you. Got a boxer's break, and she's like, "Yeah, I hit my grandson, and it broke." Blah blah blah. And doctor kind of looks at her, and right then and there, the doctor goes and sets it with no pain medicine or no shots, nothing. Comes back with the police officers and everything. They're like, "So you like to hit kids?"
Oh no!
And so my grandfather's like, wait a second. My grandma's only maybe 5 feet tall.
And so you're like, hey, grandma, how much cash you got on you?
No, but they didn't give her no pain pills. They didn't give her
nothing. Wow.
We had to explain it to her. They had to show a picture on their phone and everything. It was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
I felt bad, though. On her birthday, she broke her hand.
Did you get your ass kicked by a grandma ping pong?
That's right.
No, but she never lets me live it down. Every time she needs a chore done, she's like, remember that time?
Yeah, all right, hang tight. Jared, also from the South Side. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What happened to you?
All right, so this was about 6 years ago. My middle daughter, she's about 3 years old. And we were at my mom's house for Christmas, and she has this giant snow globe and has this huge wooden base, and that's where you would twist it, and it would play music, and then you would shake it up, and the snow's everywhere, and it's music. And you know, three-year-olds, they're going to be easily entertained.
Right.
So I go to pick it up, and I'm holding it, and I'm twisting it, and she's standing right underneath me, just looking right up at me, just the happiest little baby face,
ready for
me to wind this snow globe, whoops, it bounces right off of her nose as I drop it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it hits her right in the face. I catch it before it shatters on the ground, which was a plus.
I quickly pushed her out of the way and caught the snow globe.
Yes, absolutely, because the snow globe is very expensive.
It's precious,
Faces will heal.
Yeah, right.
So she's crying and she's bleeding and all these things. And, it's Christmas, so of course now my mom's mad and my wife is mad and everyone's mad. But it gets better because then about 2 years ago, so she's about 7 or 8 now, she was riding her scooter and she falls on her face in the street from trying to do some trick or something. We go to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and he's looking in her nose and he goes, oh, there's a bunch of like scar tissue in here from some sort of like previous accident. Like, she's fallen on her face before. And I'm just like, no, I don't know what's happened.
No
idea.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, we got some front runners here. The snow globe story was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
The grandma getting her finger broken, also a really good one. There's a video that Matt Colombo posted of his, what looks like about an 18-month-old, jumping on her dad's stomach, like flopping on his back.
Yeah.
But then her arm just goes, and just backhands him right in the gonads. And, oh, man, it's pretty
Has
awesome.
Has your daughter done that yet?
Oh, all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just no concept of what's going on. We'll just run straight. I'm like, oh, I love you, but I hate you. Joe on Facebook said, my two older brothers got me hit by a car when I was 4 years old. I should definitely be dead. Didn't elaborate, just said got hit by a car.
Mm. My God.
How about this one? Just hurts thinking about it. Casey said, stuck a harpoon in my younger sister's top gums above her two front teeth.
Ugh.
At about 8 or 9 years old, parents were not happy with all of the dental work. Go figure.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what happened to Tanya as a child, but she said when I was 2, I had a tendency to lure people close to me by telling them that I had a secret. And once they were close enough, I'd grab them by the sides of the face and headbutt them with all of my might. No one was safe, especially my sister who was 5 years older. The best part, we now have two sons that are 2 months apart, and my nephew does it to her all of the time.
Oh, my God.
What the hell, man?
What's the matter with you?
That's creepy. They're like, I got a secret.
Paul joining us from Henderson. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up? There were 3 of us. We were in first grade. The 2 of us decided to hold this 12-foot piece of wire like a finish line. Meanwhile, the third one rides into it with his big wheel, and we stop him. So after a few times of doing that and cutting up our hands, we decide to raise it up a little bit.
Oh,
so he's getting.
You didn't decapitate a friend, did you?
Oh, boy.
So he's going real fast, and he gets stopped by his neck.
Oh, no.
Ah.
So he's running home, blood all coming down his shirt. His mom's freaking out. Sends us to the spank factory. So meanwhile, the next day at school, he's got this slit across his throat. And the teacher, what happened? Well, I got cut. Next thing you know, she's spanking me.
The teacher's spanking you? How old are you, Paul? Because this sounds like the good old days where teachers were like, you know what? I'm going to whoop you. Yeah.
And it was a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, hold tight, man.
Why would we do such stupid things as kids?
I don't know, man.
But Aaron, they always seemed like so much fun.
So much fun at the time. Aaron joining us this morning. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. So this is your sister, huh?
Yeah, I got in a little bit of trouble with my sister. I was about 9 years old. She was maybe two. And best and worst part, we were in a church. The church that we used to go to when I was a kid had like a playroom. And so one of the things that was in this playroom was this little toy shopping cart. And I thought, oh, yeah, this will be fun. I'll stick my sister in the front of it and we'll go running down the hallway. People were telling us, no, we probably shouldn't do that. And I was like, oh, whatever, I don't care. Next thing you know, I'm tripping. My sister goes flying out of the front of it, and her forehead goes straight into a door frame.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she was not happy. Neither were my parents. They were freaking out.
The worst part is when you're the sibling and you do the hurting, and you're like, shh, 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 you're okay. Don't cry.
Yes, I know. I was just in such shock because she launched kind of far.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, hang tight. This one, John said, roughhousing with my 3-year-old nephew. He hit me with an empty Sparklets jug, left a nice cut. Nothing some super glue couldn't fix, but he posted a picture up on the Facebook page, and it's right above the eyebrow, and it just split his eye open.
Yeah, see, kids are.
Wait, did he fix it himself with super glue?
That's what super glue was originally invented for, was an adhesive for skin.
Yeah, but like, don't you need like a doctor to do that?
I mean, if it's right above your eyebrow and it's going to be on your face forever, maybe go get some stitches.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
Jesse. About 6 years ago, my brother had just had a baby. Our friend was holding her and lifted her high in her arms.
Oh, no.
Ceiling fan was on.
Oh, God.
Hit the baby's head on the ceiling fan.
Oh my God.
I know. Like a brand new baby, too.
As somebody who has hit their head as, you know, like not an adult, but like as a teenager with your head on the ceiling fan, that is not, oh, God.
Not pleasant.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh.
All right, we got another one here.
Poor baby.
Is his head okay?
Ro is joining us this morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What happened?
Okay, so I was a little kid. I was a little fat, kind of like somebody else that's in the studio. But anyways.
That's no way to talk about Sylvia, Ro. Yeah. She's a lady.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive
how
about
her. How dare you?
We were like totally poor. We had like one bicycle. It was a girl's bike that had the banana seat. We had to hike up like almost at like a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
And I was barely learning how to ride a bike. And this freaking dog started chasing after me. And I'm panicking. So I'm pedaling. And I don't turn. I hit this sidewalk full speed. And that banana seat went right to the jewels.
Oh, God.
And I got out, started crying because I'm eight. It was the size of an orange, and I'm only eight. And my dad's like, what's going on? My mom's like, let me look at it. I'm like, no, Mom, you can't look at it. What is wrong with you? And so my dad takes me to the doctor. The first thing the doctor says, hey, does this hurt? Squeezes it. I pass out. I'm like, my dad's like about to beat this man, and all I remember is like ice in my junk for like 2 weeks later. And it was the worst pain in my life.
Oh my god! Oh man!
No.
I still cannot ride a bike to this day because of that.
Okay, we've heard some good stories today.
I want this. One.
You win. Just based on your storytelling skills. That you squeezed your nuts and you passed out.